Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, we're going to be dealing with two chapters, Isaiah 43 and 44. And for those of you that like to count down our outline and you're used to going 1 point, 2 point, 3 points for going home, there are 4 points on this. So just to prepare you, don't pack up just quite yet. Isaiah chapter 43, just going to read one verse to get us started. 43 verse 1, "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word, that you would comfort our hearts, that you would give us, Father, what we need to be able to stand for you. Do that today, Father. Teach us not to fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most difficult times in any parent's life is that time when something goes wrong with one or more than one of your children and you can't fix it. No matter how skilled you are, no matter what you know, no matter who you know, you just cannot handle it. You may not have the money, you may not have the expertise, you may not know where to go, but there are things that just fall beneath your ability. When one of my children went into sports, I'll not name the child, but playing football, now, in today's world, both sexes play football, but this was when they didn't. Anyway, I had it made. I covered everything. I knew what to do because I spent many years dressed out in uncomfortable outfits to play myself, or at least to seek to do. So, you know, in today's world, in my day, the school threw pads at you and you put on what you got and hope that it worked. That's not the school world we're in today. Your families have to buy the equipment. And so, you know, buying the equipment, we try to get the best pads that we could get and, you know, make sure that they fit, make sure everything would be good, made sure to get the absolute best helmet possible, and because that's still a very important piece of equipment. Somehow they played this game for a long time without those things. But no matter what we did, something happened. Now, I went to the games, I went to the practices, you know, it's just part of kind of reliving that part of your life a little bit. And you know, I was there one day when my child got hurt. That may not seem like much to you, but a finger was hurt. They pulled their medical crew together, which was not much of a medical crew, but they looked at it, it seemed okay, and everything went along. Well, it still hurt. We went to the doctor, and the doctor checked it out, and everything seemed to be okay from the doctor's standpoint, but it still hurt. In due time, we ended up at a specialist. The specialist said the words that doctors should really never say. If you'd only come to me sooner. It seems that a tendon had come off, and the only way that they could fix the situation was to abandon the tendon because it was gone and fuse the bone. As a fixer, I was totally defeated. I was supposed to keep these things from happening, and I did not. I was supposed to fix it if it did happen, and I could not. Now, that was with one of my children. Now, as life has gone on, I've had the same situation with the other of my children, not in the same way, but, you know, just things you cannot fix, and we find ourselves in a very dark spot, and it seems like we have nowhere to turn. The natural response is to fear. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? How will this limit things? How will this make things not work? God spends a lot of time in the book of Isaiah commanding his children not to fear. Israel's in trouble. They are being taken into captivity by the Babylonians. They are going to be carted away from their homes to a place they don't know by a force much mightier than they are. They're in a bad situation. And that bad situation was one that they had no control over and they could not fix. And so what is God's word to them as they go into this unknown? Fear not. No matter what the situation you are in, no matter how hopeless things may seem, I want you to understand today, and I'm so glad you're here today, I want you to understand today, if you are a child of God, God says, fear not. And the obvious thing for us to say is, how can I not? How can I stop? Everything is fearful. Fear not, because you are in God's possession. In 43 verse 1, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Before you throw a pity party about how bad things are for you, before you start to, you know, pulling your hair out and trembling in fear, before you start staying up through the nights and pacing the floor, I want you to start thinking about some things. Think about this. God made you. God has all power. And if you could just pause for just a moment before you panic and consider that the God who has all power can help you. In fact, if you will meditate on Genesis 1:1, the very start of the Bible, the very first verse of the Bible, if you will meditate on that verse and believe what it says, you'll begin to understand that you do not have to be afraid of anything if you are a child of God. Genesis 1:1, you probably have it in your head. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Chew on that for a while. When things get bad, go back to in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Can you imagine the power that it took to put the world in place to create the heavens and the earth? Can you imagine the technological skill it took to put the thousands of cells in your body and make them work? God created the heaven and the earth, and when he did, he created it out of nothing. There wasn't anything, and so he created it out of absolutely nothing. And by the way, I believe he did it in 6 days. Now, you don't have to believe that. You have a privilege to be wrong. But I believe he did it in 6 days. I'm not speaking to how long the earth has been here. That's a different discussion. But just think about it. Do you believe God did it? Well, some yes, some no. Do you believe God did it? Yes. If God could do it, then time is not an obstacle. The God that could do it in at all could do it in 6 days or 4 days or even 1 day or in 1 hour or in one statement. Or even in one thought. There's a theory that there was nothing that existed in any place and anywhere. And somehow there was gaseous clouds that began to form. And the gas formed, and in that gas there were little particles floating around. And you had this gas body and the little particles, and the gas body came under pressure for some reason that's unknown, and the particles bumped into each other and they sparked. Well, when you get a spark in gas, what does it do? Bang! And when the bang was over, there were planets and there was the earth. Now, in the great brains of the world, you understand what the theory is called. It's called the what? The Big Bang Theory. Can I tell you that that does not throw out creation? Now, I don't know that that's how it happened. I don't know that it's not. I believe God created the heavens and the earth, and if he wanted to say bang, that was up to him. But the thought of current day science does not take away supernatural creation. If God can make the earth out of nothing, think about this. He can handle what the little things are in your life. It gets better. Not only did God create the world, he made you. He made everyone else in the world that has ever lived. He created Jacob. He formed the nation of Israel. If God could put all these things together, listen, if God could put your body together, he knows how it's to function. Our days are in his hands. Don't fear. Take your burdens to the Lord and just let him have them. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Listen, not only did he create us, when we went our own way, when we sinned against God, when you decided to do what God has told you not to do, yeah, don't look at me like that. You did that. And I did too. When we did that, God did not sit idly by just waiting for the day for us to die and come before him in judgment so he could send us to a devil's hell. Oh no. God stepped in and God wants to care for us and God wants to pull us to himself. Verse 1 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. You are mine." Now, people that do not know God have every reason to fear. People that do not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, well, they should be in a fear panic. They have no help. They have no hope. They have no cure. They have no power. But for those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, for those who have accepted him, we belong to him. You have a relationship because he was willing to pay the price to redeem you. Redeem means to buy back. The time when we sin, you know, we were talking about when you sin and the time we did all that, that created a debt, a sin debt we owe God. You can't pay it, I can't pay it. So we created a debt we could not pay. God went to redeem us, to buy us back, and to offer us what we do not deserve. The wages of sin is death. Well, we've all sinned. And what comes from sin is the fact that we will die. But it's not only that. The rest of that says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own zealous good works. In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, you know that you were not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain manner of life, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish or spot. God paid the price to redeem us. God put it all on the line so we would not end up in hell. When we believe, when we acted on our own and selfishly went against God, and some are still doing that, and sometimes we still fall into that pattern, he was going to the cross and dying for us to redeem us. God paid the price. Jesus offered his own blood as that price. And then he says, get this, you come to Jesus as your Savior. He becomes your Savior. You're redeemed by him. He's paid the price for your sins, and God says, you are mine. You belong to me. Believer, you may have walked away from God as Israel did. They turned their backs on God. They went away from all that God had done for them, and now they're going into captivity, and they are afraid. They might be thinking, we deserve this. We messed up. We didn't believe. Why should God come back and help us in any way? And maybe that's what you're thinking. Maybe you're thinking, I have done too much wrong. I have gone against God so much. There is no forgiveness. There's no hope. There's no peace. You know why we think that way? Because we think God thinks like us. See, sometimes we are petty, and sometimes we hold grudges, and sometimes we want to get people back, and sometimes we want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and actually we want more than that. If it's an eye, we want both eyes. If it's a tooth, we want their whole dental plate. We want everything. And we've got it in our minds. We just want somebody to pay. And that's how we think. And so we've been bad to God, and we just naturally think he's going to be bad to us. He's going to do what we would do if we were him. I praise God. You're not him. And I'm not either. God says, Christian, you are mine. I care for you. Come to me. I will give you rest. I will forgive you. You may see no way out, but verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. God had already proven this to Israel. Remember when they got backed up to the Red Sea? The army's coming at them. They don't have a chance. God just separates the waters. They walk across on dry ground and are saved. God is there to give the victory that needs to be given when you find yourself in deep waters. Ever been there? There now? The troubles of the deep waters are all over you, all around you. You're just trying to somehow stay on float, and it seems like it's not going to work. Listen, God can take you through the deep waters and give you a victory because he's God. Just believe in him. Don't go into the fear world. Go into the faith world. Then he speaks on. He goes on. He says, he talks about the fire. It says, you will not be burned though you go through the fire. I don't know about you, but I don't like being burned. Ever fry bacon? Bacon has a way of making you pay. You know, it just spits out grease at you so that you get these little burn spots. And you know, or you fry chicken, and whoever prepares the meals in your house may go through to give you a good meal. But you know, it hurts. I don't like being burned. When I was a lad of a boy, I went on a Sunday school trip, and on that Sunday school trip, we went out on a lake, and on that lake, I got burned so bad. Oh, so bad. We went from that lake to a baseball game. I stayed in the back of a old station wagon with chills. I got home. They took me to a doctor. They determined that I had third-degree burns. It was so severe. As I started to heal, my skin started peeling off in sheets. Now, I have an older brother. I have an older, educated brother. He is so smart. And part of the way he got there was with my donation. He would come by and peel off skin and take it to his microscope. It was a thrill for him, but it wasn't that great for me. I want you to know it's not fun being burned. But when you're in the fire, God says, don't worry, I am with you. You'll not get burned. When the life around you heats up, ever hear of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He will be there with you. He will stand with you in the midst of it all because you belong to him. He's your Savior. Listen, they didn't deserve God's care. We don't deserve God's care, but he provided a Savior anyway. None of us deserve God's deliverance. Romans 5:8. God commended himself for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're sinning. He's dying on a cross for us. Why would God claim a people for his own? Why would God provide care and his own son, a Savior? Verse 4, you are precious to God. He loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus went through it all to draw you to himself. And when you accept Jesus, you become his child. And so you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear because you are in God's possession. You don't have to fear because you're in God's presence. He says in verse 5, fear not, for I am with you. The same God that led Israel out of Egypt through the desert is the same God who can be with you through whatever trial you're going through. As a child, I never felt so safe as when my dad was there. And when my dad was with me, I knew I was all right. My dad was a tough guy. He was very kind and all those kind of things, but he could be a tough guy. And I just knew that the world was safe. My dad was a firefighter, 24/48. So that meant he wasn't in the house every night. And you know what? There was a comfort level when he was there that wasn't there when he wasn't there. It just gave comfort. We don't have to fear because our Heavenly Father's not going to be gone. He's there every day, 24/7. It's important to note that God does not say he will keep us out of troubling waters and he will keep us out of the fiery times in life. Say what? He's not saying you won't have troubled waters or times with heat up. He's saying, if you got them, you don't have them alone. I'm there with you. Understand that sometimes we grow more by going through the storms than by avoiding the storms. Sometimes we have to go through issues in order to wake up and be sensible and trust God and follow God. Understand, God is with you. And he's ready to show you his glory in every situation. When we trust God through the storms, God honors us. In verse 10, we become his witnesses. So if God has blessed you, if he spared you, if he saved you, if he's forgiven you, tell somebody. You're his witness. And if you're not telling somebody, you're a lousy witness. Verse 13, no one can take believers out of God's hand. God has you. People talk about being saved today and going to hell tomorrow. No, my friend. If you ever come to Jesus and you get Jesus as your Savior, he paid the price for you. That does not change. He redeems you. Don't fear. They were in captivity in Babylon. God tells them, Babylon's going to be destroyed. I'm going to take care of that. In verse 19, God's going to do a new thing. They didn't know how Babylon could be beaten. They were the mighty force. They were the invincible group. But God says, I'm going to do a new thing. You're going to have a new day. And he's talked to us, and if you've been with us for last week, you know that the millennium is going to come. Israel will have their day of recognition, and things are going to be good for Israel. God's going to do that. He's going to do a new thing. I like that. I really do. Better than that. Well, let's stay there for a second. A new thing. You know, some of you have ailments that the doctors don't know what to do with. God can do a new thing. God can do something doctors don't know anything about. God can give the ability for you to be taken care of outside of the medical realm. Now, I'm not telling you to avoid the medical realm. You know, pray and go to a good doctor and go through the process. But if you get healed, it's because God did a new thing. God came in and did what man cannot do. Are you fearful because of your past sins? Oh, yeah. You know, those things that you did that you don't talk about that are back there in the back and you try to keep them away from everybody, and maybe they're not that past. Maybe you're still involved in that. Are you afraid that God is just going to crush in on you, that those sins are going to come up and they're going to destroy you? Verse 25, I am he that blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Now, I don't know about you, but that's praise the Lord time for me. God blots out my sins. That means he says, now he doesn't say I can't remember. He says I will not remember. See, God can remember all things, but he says I'm going to blot out your sins and choose not to remember them. I'm not going to hold them against you. Why? Because Jesus paid for them. I'm going to forgive you completely, even those rotten, terrible, horrible things that no one should know about, and hopefully they don't. God does know, and he will put them away. All we have to do is come to Jesus, allow him to save our souls, and then walk with him. Notice he does it for my own sake. Why does he do it for his own sake? Because God loves you, and he wants to spend time with you, and your sins get between you and him. So he blots it out so he can be right there with you for his own sake. God puts our sins away and he stays with us. Fear not, we're in God's provision. 44:2. Fear not, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Listen, God will quench the thirstiness of your life. God will provide what you can't provide. God will provide what this world cannot give. God can turn the deserts of life into an oasis. God can handle where you are. You just need to follow the Lord. Teach your children to follow the Lord. He says, I'll pour my spirit upon them. We need to be raising children to the Lord. We need to be encouraging families to get their children in God's house, to be a part of Awana where they learn the Bible, to be in Sunday school, and you need to be in Sunday school too, because we all need that small group time in God's Word. And allow God to grow us. Your children will claim, I am the Lord's. Isn't that what you want? Fear not, because 44:6, I am the first and the last. Beside me, there is no other God. He will be there. He's the only one that can be there and help. He is there at the beginning. He will be there in the end. When you're no more, God's still there. And when you breathe your last here, oh, he doesn't leave you. He takes you home. Fear not. Fear not. You are in God's proclamation. 44:8, fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and not declared it? You are even my witnesses. God has proclaimed in his word how he will care for us. He's proclaimed in his word how he will forgive us. He's proclaimed in his word how he can direct us. when the going gets tough, get yourself in God's Word. Get God's Word in you. Do what the book says and believe it. And God can give you victory step by step, day by day. He can tell you how to move in the most terrible of situations, and it all comes in trusting Him. God has told us we're in His care when we are in His Word. God has prepared a life that you don't have to fear. God has prepared a hope that's beyond fear. God has prepared protection that can rise you above fear. Put fear away and start believing in God. Now, if you're a believer and you have walked away from God, God calls you to come back to Him. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to wipe the slate clean. He's willing to pick you up. He puts the past away. And it starts with you making the decision, I'm going to give it all to Jesus. I'm not going to hold any more back. And that needs to happen today. And if you're here and you've never invited Jesus as your Savior, what are you waiting on? Are you okay in a world of fear with no help, no hope, no purpose? You will not be okay for long. Come to Jesus and let the world of fear go. Just come forward and say, I want Jesus. Maybe you want a church home and this is the place. Well, come forward. We'll take care of that too. God has a purpose in your being here today. He wants to take the fear away. That's done in trusting Him. Stand with me for prayer. Father, I ask that You would move within our hearts, that You would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this moment, Father, lift fear from us as we turn to You in faith. Let us bow before You. Let us seek Your direction. And Father, for those that do not know You, I pray that today they would come and just say, I want Jesus. And in Jesus, Father, they would find redemption, salvation, forgiveness forever. Thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You come as we sing.